Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello, and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson, and in this particular podcast, I've entitled it Unrealistic Expectations from Dating. And I titled it that way because I'm going to talk about some things that happen out of our expectations when we meet somebody in the dating thing. And however your perception is created, whether it's because it's something you see in the movies or you've heard about it and in such romantic ways, it's there are some things that are unrealistic about it in terms of its long term and what can come from it. Obviously, there's the honeymoon phase, in which we all love that part because we feel great. You know, you get to meet somebody, you're respecting each other's personal space, and then you share each other's personal space, and then you do things together, and you know, you create a routine. It's you know, dating is a ritual. And it's from that ritual where we start patterns. And it's, I'm wondering if some of those patterns that we create that we start are realistic in terms of what can happen forever and ever. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Initially, I will bring up some places in which you can meet people. And then I'm going to get into the topic itself of some of the unrealistic expectations. And I'll do that right after we come back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. And I am going to kind of start off this particular podcast and discussing places to meet people. There are obviously lots of things to do in the world. And the thing that I think we're looking for when we're into meeting people is people who are compatible, somebody who's has shared some of the same interests, because that we're hoping to build a relationship of some type. Whether it's forever and ever or just short term, you just want to deal with some loneliness, you know, we can, I'll try to cover that topic here just briefly. But there's meetup groups, you know, you can go online and consider what kinds of activities you like. And if it's astronomy, as in stargazing, or if you're into hiking or cycling, photography, interested in going to lectures, you know, theater, car shows, whatever your personal interest, and believe it, there's lots of diversity in these kinds of things. You can go on the internet and find that. Oftentimes, a local newspaper is going to have a list or a calendar of events that are happening. And now, at this particular time of the year, this is in 2016, then there's a lot of political stuff going on. So there could be political rallies, things that might interest you, and you can find somebody who has who's like-minded. So there's lots of variables there. If you're attending college, some sessions may have begun already. And if that's the case, then you will probably have found the opportunity to meet other people. And there's going to be study groups, meeting in the library, obviously, instructors are going to be having lectures, And those of you who have not yet begun classes, well, it'll be happening very soon for you. So there's a few ideas. You know, the challenge is there may be many different kinds of individuals who are attractive to you, but I think the long-term viability on a relationship, I believe, is based on the likelihood of having the capacity to experience mutually enjoyable activities. All right. That sounds like a bunch of doublespeak, but it's the idea that the two of you both can enjoy something together. That's building that connection. That's what's important. That's what dating, that's what a relationship, that's what happens. That's what it's designed to do, is to create those sorts of bonds. Now, when you're trying to date, one of the things that happens for some people is finding people. Sometimes we have a perception in our head about who we want to meet, and we might have to blow the doors on that. I mean, if you're attracted to, or if you feel that you're attracted to a particular type, a certain height, a certain eye color, a certain hair color, and you're not finding that in the activities that you're doing, then you're going to have to try something different. Different meaning what you have always looked for, you're going to have to be flexible. So, and by flexible, I don't mean lower your standards. I mean just change your perception. Because you may have a perception about people, about others, that when they're a different culture, maybe come from a different country, this is an opportunity to, like I say, try on something new. And that can be very enlightening. And that's, you know, for those of you that are in college, that's part of the college experience, is being around people of different cultures, in different places of the country, or in different countries, other places in the world, and finding out that that there are a lot of similarities. I mean, that's the fun thing. That's the friendship part of when you're going out and you're dating, is you get to experience those kind of things. Now, taking it to the more unrealistic expectations part, I want to talk about that. It's where, understand that dating in and of itself is a ritual. You start out, you meet, you're respecting each other's space. You know, you can read the body language. If you're an observer of two people, yes, they're standing, they're just sort of chatting. You know, they might have their arms folded or however the experience is. But, you know, you're watching. They're respecting each other's personal space. And then when they become a little more familiar, they're in each other's personal space. And then those two individuals go off and they're doing things together. So now I'm in the aspect of telling a story from the two people being together. They're doing things. They're sharing time. They're planning, whether it's to go see a movie, go out to dinner. You know, all of these things require some sort of investment. And, you know, the money aspect, you know, unless you're independently wealthy and you just have oodles and oodles of money, which could be a challenge. I mean, if you're a college age, or a college student, you probably have a lot of expenses. The long-term viability of something like that has to come into question. Because dating in and of itself is about getting to know the person. And I think it's important that we explore all of the possibilities. And I've certainly been somebody who has dated in the past and found that it was sort of my responsibility to pay for all of the outings. And what I found is I was a bit disappointed and a bit disillusioned, because it seemed like the only time I was able to spend with somebody was when I went out and spent money on them. And as a guy, there's a lot of women that are paying for the dates too. So this obviously works both ways, but I'm talking from that example of having to spend money on someone in a seemingly endless amount. And how reasonable is that? I call into question the fact of whether that's reasonable. And that's one of the unrealistic expectations of dating. There should be ways in which you can spend time with someone and it not always be this huge investment of cash. Now, that's not to say that they're not worth it. I mean, you obviously want to spend time with this person and they're worth something. But when it seems like it's always about the money, it comes off as seemingly a bit materialistic. I've always been amazed at the few number of partners who would suggest, well, let's do something other than spend money. And while that is for some people, it's unthinkable. I mean, you want your date to spend money on you all the time. I think you're being unrealistic. And it's about having the experience of being with that person. And I think when you're talking about, again, long-term viability, you have to be able to think of things outside of the pocketbook. There are, and this is the thing that I've learned. It's about spending time with someone. And that time, and I'm going to keep hammering away at this, isn't always about spending money. It's about spending the time. And when you're paying for entertainment to invest with a person, well, what happens when that entertainment is gone? What are you sharing as two individuals? What quality of life are you bringing to this partnership when you're not being entertained? You know, that constantly being stimulated, whether it's always a movie or a comedian or something like that. And, I mean, there are things that people say don't cost money. Well, taking a drive. Well, actually, you know, drive, you're paying for gasoline or electricity if you're, you know, driving an electric car. But I think being able to be in each other's space. So if you get somewhere and you're just sitting with each other in a park and just enjoying the scenery or observing people, that's the point of what I'm trying to get at. It's being able to be at peace with yourself and with that person who, we'll just call him right now, we'll call him your significant other, and about enjoying that. Because if you don't have that kind of experience and you're waiting for the relationship to become, what do you want to say, permanent, you know, whether it's you're calling yourselves boyfriend and girlfriend, partner and partner, married partners, however that is, if you're waiting for that moment to see if the relationship works without spending the cash, you've waited way too long. Because that, I think, is where the misunderstanding or the miscommunication happens. And women have shared that after we got together, all of a sudden we stopped going out. And I think from a guy's standpoint, there was the chase, and I put that in quotes, there's the chase. There is the investment in that part of the relationship. But remember, relationships transition. They transition to these other kinds of things. And it really is about experiencing the other person. Now, that's not to say that there should never be a date night anymore, because that's obviously the other extreme. That's not okay. Because I think you should do what brought you there. And if you've enjoyed each other and had gone to lectures and developed this great chemistry, it's in those kinds of activities that the chemistry will thrive. And if you take that away from the relationship, well, it's going to fall apart, because it's going to seem like a fraud. It really is going to have all what's called the trappings of, you know, bait and switch, which is they did all the work to get you, but now they don't want to do the work to keep you. But I'm just asking the tactical question of, when it seems like it's all about the money, what happens when the money dries up? Just food for thought. And we'll be back after this.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And we're back. This is John Johnson, Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. And in that last segment, I had ended with a little comment about about the money drying up. You know, that was basically in reference to the challenges that people face when they have been dating a while and then the relationship sort of transitions from going out all the time to then finding that harmonious balance of what do we do other than spend money and being entertained. Well, the seriousness of this next part, and I'm going to talk about the money aspect, is really when you're having financial challenges, and this happens in relationships all the time, the partnership, now you may have, I believe that when you first start out, individuals should be fully self-contained. They should be able to take care of themselves because that's what they're bringing to the relationship, all of their habits. They should be able to manage their own money. They should be able to show that they can manage their own affairs. And then it's about blending those, the best of those characteristics and creating a unit. That's what a relationship is there for, to be able to mutually supportive. Now, the financial aspect of this can be quite challenging because obviously when, life has its ups and downs, you could have a money crisis if just momentarily, hopefully it's just a short-term thing, and you get into a relationship with somebody that have money challenges, that may be a red flag and you should watch it. Loaning money to people is, especially when you're in a dating situation, should be a cause for something to be really, really watchful for. This shouldn't be an ongoing thing. I mean, and I'm always very careful about this. Again, as the relationship progresses and it becomes more permanent and you're really finding out how this thing is going to work, you may decide to blend the funds, the financial thing, but I believe that you should at least have a separate account, and then if you want to create a joint account, that's fine, because you need to learn to be able to trust, because the money thing could really throw you on your heels if that is something that you discover at some point in time that you have a partner that is terrible with money. Then you are going to be tied into that. And that is something that you don't want to find out later on. You want to learn about that. And again, I'm talking about the subject so that you're mindful of individuals. Now, I'm not suggesting that people are always deceptive, but sometimes you find out that there are individuals that never were raised with very good skills on handling money. And when you get caught up in a situation with someone like that, if you know ahead of time what you're dealing with, then you can plan, you can make suggestions, and you can see how well they can take your suggestions or your coaching. But if you find yourself head over heels with someone and you don't know about these things, and then you wind up coming up short of money for some reason, I mean, your account's been tapped or tapped out, then you're in a crisis mode. And you would have wished you had handled it differently. So I'm giving you the suggestion. I think the reasonable expectation is you have your account, let your new partner or long-term partner have their account, and then you can create a joint account. And it's these joint expenses, something that benefits both of you, that you learn how to trust each other and being able to move this thing forward. Okay? Now, something to consider. If you find that your partner is having money difficulties, you would want your partner to be certainly open to credit counseling. Now, what that merely is that you talk to a credit counselor. They are someone who can help you with your budgeting. They can help you consolidate all your bills and thereby getting them paid. Now, you have to go on a budget diet, and they will help you create a plan so that you can stick to that. And I think being able to have that sort of self-discipline, it's a learning experience for a lot of people, because I think what we find out is many people do not know how to handle their money. And I'm not talking about investing in stocks and bonds and that sort of thing. I'm talking about just the day-to-day expenses of budgeting, of paying things on time, and then and doing it in a livable fashion. Some people spend money as fast as they get it. And if you happen to be tied into somebody like that, you're in for a very, very rough ride. And Obviously, people are very sensitive about talking about money because we've grown up in this culture, and I'm talking about the American culture, where we would probably tell more about our bad habits and gossip about ourselves rather than talk about our finances. And I know that we judge a lot based on how large an individual's bank account is, because money obviously means a lot. You can do a lot of things with it. But I'm talking about the necessity of being able to be a good planner and be a good budgeter, because that's where you think about the impact that you would have on someone else's life. So knowing that they want to be a good steward in their money habits and their budgeting, and to be sensitive to that, that's a good life skill. That's going to carry you forward. And that's another one of those things that tells you something about the character of the individual. You know, we're all going to make mistakes in life. It's how we handle the mistakes is what's going to set us apart, because some people handle it poorly. And if you've got a person who's had some challenges and they're willing to take some coaching on it, whether it's, you know, counseling, be it therapy, or if it's in the financial thing, it's about getting a credit counselor who will help them consolidate their bills, put them on a budget, and get things paid, and you see those things happen, you can grow with that person. That's wonderful. But if you're dealing with a person who's toxic and they're not willing to own up to their physical mismanagement, then that's a person you're going to have to cut yourself away from. It's just, it's a long-term recipe for disaster. That sometimes is the kind of fixer-upper that you can't fix. They need to fix themselves. And that advice goes to men as well as women. I'm not suggesting that one gender has the advantage over the other in terms of knowledge, in terms of capacity. I think we both need to understand that it's about mutual respect and surrounding yourself with people who are willing to grow from their experiences. And certainly those financial challenges or things that happen to us dealing with money can show you a lot about an individual, and you can learn a lot from someone who does it well. So that's my advice on that. Next, I'm going to transition to a topic, and it has to do with therapy. And I kind of touched on it a little bit. I wasn't so much talking about psychotherapy, but I was talking about financial therapy, getting counseling in there. But I'm going to talk about psychotherapy for a moment here. And that's to say, what do you feel your responsibilities are to a person who is in therapy? You're in this relationship with someone and they are going through a crisis, or they are in therapy trying to get help for that. What's your responsibility? And here's my thought on that. It is to say that if a person is in therapy, that is a good thing. Trying to deal with problems when you don't have the capacity or the skill set to handle them is a recipe for disaster. It's not going to work for you. And the impact that you, the individual, has on those in your sphere of influence, I shall say, is going to be great. So I would encourage the person who needs help to get help. Now, if you're the person who is in the relationship with the person getting help, so now I'm speaking back to you, understand that that individual who is in the therapy sessions is going to be going through quite a bit. I understand you have your things too, but it's the person who is in this therapy session is going to be going through quite a bit. Because first of all, the therapist is going to try to get at the heart of the problem. So that means taking an individual and discussing the problem, splaying them open emotionally, that is, taking this apart and then trying to put them back together in a better fashion. And almost, you know, I can describe Humpty Dumpty with some of the pieces missing, hopefully the bad pieces. But the idea of what happens to that person when they're going through that therapy is there's a lot that's going to be going through their mind. And they're going to be trying to figure out with the help of the therapist what it is that they do that doesn't work, and trying to rework the way they understand things so that they can have a better outcome. And what that does to people is oftentimes they can become moody because they're working these things out. Sometimes it's just really playing on in their self-conscious, because there are things that we are conscious to, and that's what we're speaking about in terms of being in a therapy session. And then there are things that are operating in the subconscious. And those things tend to come out at different times. And it's interesting how if you're dealing with a person who's in therapy, sometimes they might have really wild mood swings. And I'm not talking about those that are related to people who are on medication, but I'm just talking about those who are in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and trying to figure out and deal with their problems. Because the idea of the therapist is to try to give this individual insight as to what the problem is and give them different tools. And if you, being the significant other to the person in therapy, is experiencing something about that person that seems unusual, maybe sometimes they might seem distant, you know, there might be some sort of disconnect in the communication, it's because they're going through something, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're trying to figure it out. The part that may help you with this may be the one thing that you don't get, at least for the time being, and you may want to know what's going on in that therapy session with that person. That may not be information for you to have. Now, it seems nice that, okay, yeah, you want to have them tell you things. You want them to share everything with you. But that information oftentimes is so raw and it's so new that the person in therapy doesn't necessarily understand it well enough to even explain it. So if you are in relationship with somebody who's in therapy and you feel like you're on the outs and you're not understanding, you don't know what's going on, that's kind of the way things are. When somebody has command enough of what's going on that they're willing and able to share with you what's happening, that's golden. But you know, understand that that's not necessarily required of somebody who's going through therapy to necessarily share that. Because when people are going through things like that, they are trying to get to the best result. And I'm saying the word we because I'm just trying to insert myself in there to try to, for emphasis. We're trying to get the best result. And it's a work in progress. That's what therapy is. It's generally a work in progress. Now, you as a support person, you may be from time to time asked to go in a session to maybe not only to help understand, but maybe to give some valuable information, some valuable input. If that's what's required of you, I hope that you are willing to do that, because that could be very, very beneficial to having a good outcome. And that's just a little bit of insight on that. And for those of you who are listening and you're considering therapy of some type, there are many therapists out there. There are different kinds of therapy. There's therapy dealing with sex abuse. There's therapy for children, therapy for adults. And something that is very important is when there is an abuse or an overuse of prescription medications, it's about getting help, getting therapy for that. And it's not just psychological therapy, but there is the medicinal aspect of that, of having to deal with that. That definitely causes issues. So if you're dealing with that kind of thing, there is help for that, and I certainly hope you get it. That is going to wrap up this particular podcast, episode number 22. We began with some of the unrealistic expectations from dating, and we transitioned to dealing with finances and a little bit of the last part about what's like to be in therapy. So I want to thank you again for joining me. This is John Johnson, Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast.